open to the U.S. intelligence and law enforcement authorities prior to any CIA detainee reporting. Foreign government authorities, relying on information provided by the United Kingdom and, to an extent, U.S. signals intelligence, ultimately located and arrested Abu Talha al-Pakistani. Because of the central role of UK authorities, CIA records do not include a comprehensive accounting of the investigation and operations that led to Abu Talha al-Pakistani's detention. CIA records indicate, however, that Abu Talha al-Pakistani was identified by two detainees in foreign government custody shortly after their capture. Both detainees would later be transferred to CIA custody and subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. The first of these two detainees was Majid Khan, who on March 6, 2003, discussed Ammar al-Baluchi's Karachi-based assistant, Talha. Majid Khan provided a phone number for Talha and used that number at the request of his captors in an effort to locate and capture Ammar al-Baluchi through Talha. This reporting, which Majid Khan provided while he was in foreign government custody, preceded any reporting from CIA detainees. The other detainee who reported on Abu Talha was Ammar al-Baluchi, who described him as Suleiman, and stated that he had been dispatched to the United Kingdom to recruit operatives suitable for hijacking and suicide operations. Ammar al-Baluchi was also in foreign government custody at the time of this disclosure. KSM's failure to mention Abu Talha, Suleiman, more than a month after the CIA had ceased using its enhanced interrogation techniques against him, prompted one of KSM's debriefers to state that KSM could be in trouble very soon. KSM also fabricated that he had shown a sketch related to the Heathrow Airport plot to Ammar al-Baluchi rather than to Abu Talha, until confronted with Ammar al-Baluchi's denials more than 3 months after the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques against KSM had ceased. See Volume 2 and the KSM Detainee Review in Volume 3 for additional information.
During questioning in foreign government custody, Abu Talha stated, the U.S. casing reports were from Abu Issa. Further debriefings of Abu Talha revealed that Issa, a.k.a. Duran Bharat, was the operational manager for al-Qaeda in the United Kingdom. Additional information about Duran Bharat's UK plotting was recovered from the hard drives confiscated during the raid that resulted in the arrest of Duran Bharat. A document describing the plotting was divided into two parts. The first part included the Gas Limos project, which envisioned parking explosive-laden carrier vans or limousines in underground garages. The second part, the Radiation Dirty Bomb Project, proposed using 10,000 smoke detectors as part of an explosive device to spread a radioactive element contained in the detectors. Duran Bharat's plotting was referred to as the United Kingdom Urban Targets Plot. The UK Urban Targets Plot was disrupted when Duran Bharat and his UK-based associates were detained in the United Kingdom in early August 2004. On August 24, 2004, UK authorities informed the CIA that the criminal charges against Bharat and his co-conspirators were mainly possible owing to the recovery of terrorist-related materials during searches of associated properties and vehicles following their arrest. In September 2004, an intelligence community assessment stated that Duran Bharat was in an early phase of operational planning at the time of his capture, and that there was no evidence to indicate that Bharat had acquired the envisioned materials for the attacks. In December 2005, an FBI assessment stated, the main plot presented in the Gas Limos project is unlikely to be as successful as described, concluding, we assess that the Gas Limos project, while ambitious and creative, is far-fetched. On November 7, 2006, Duran Bharat was sentenced to life in prison. On May 16, 2007, Bharat's sentence was reduced from life in prison to 30 years after a British Court of Appeal found that expert assessments describing the plot as amateurish, defective, and unlikely to succeed were not provided to the sentencing judge. The thwarting of the United Kingdom Urban Targets plot and the identification and/or capture of Duran Bharat, a.k.a. Issa al-Hindi, is one of the 8 most frequently cited examples provided by the CIA as evidence for the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. Over a period of years, CIA documents prepared for and provided to senior policymakers, intelligence officials, and the Department of Justice represent the identification and/or arrest of Duran Bharat and/or the disruption of his UK plotting as an example of how key intelligence collected from HVD interrogations after applying interrogation techniques had enabled CIA to disrupt terrorist plots and capture additional terrorists. In at least one document prepared for the president, the CIA specifically highlighted the waterboarding technique enabling the disruption of Dhiren Bharat's sleeper cell. The CIA further represented that the intelligence acquired from the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques was otherwise unavailable and saved lives. For example, documents prepared in February 2009 for CIA Director Leon Panetta on the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques state that the CIA assesses the techniques were effective in producing foreign intelligence, and that most, if not all, of the timely intelligence acquired from the detainees in this program would not have been discovered or reported by other means. The document provides examples of some of the key captures, disrupted plots, and intelligence attributed to CIA interrogations. The document includes the following. Key captures from the HVD interrogations. Arrest of Dhiren Bharat, a.k.a. Isa al-Hindi, in the United Kingdom. The materials for Director Panetta also include a chart entitled Key Intelligence and Reporting Derived from Abu Zubaydah and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed that identifies two pieces of key intelligence acquired from KSM, one related to Majid Khan and the other to Dhiren Bharat. KSM reports on an unidentified UK-based operative, Isa al-Hindi, which touches off an intensive CIA, FBI, and United Kingdom manhunt. Likewise, a December 2004 CIA memorandum prepared for National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice responded to a request for an independent study of the foreign intelligence efficacy of using enhanced interrogation techniques. The CIA responded, "There is no way to conduct such a study," but stated that the CIA's use of DOJ-approved enhanced interrogation techniques as part of a comprehensive interrogation approach has enabled CIA to disrupt terrorist plots, capture additional terrorists, and collect a high volume of critical intelligence on Al-Qaeda. The document then provides examples of key intelligence collected from HVD interrogations after applying interrogation techniques, including Isa al-Hindi. KSM first identified Isa al-Hindi as an operative he sent to the U.S. prior to 9/11 to case potential targets in New York City and Washington. When shown surveillance photos provided by redacted foreign partner authorities, HVDs confirmed al-Hindi's identity. Al-Hindi's capture by the British resulted in the disruption of a sleeper cell and led to the arrest of other operatives. Similarly, CIA Director Michael Hayden represented to the committee on April 12, 2007 that KSM also provided the first lead to an operative known as Isa al-Hindi, with other detainees giving additional identifying information. The CIA provided similar inaccurate representations regarding the thwarting of the United Kingdom Urban Targets plot and the identification and/or arrest of Dhiren Bharat, a.k.a. Abu Isa al-Hindi, in 17 of the 20 documents provided to policymakers and to the Department of Justice between July 2003 and March 2009. A review of CIA operational cables and other documents found that the CIA enhanced interrogation techniques did not result in the unique intelligence that the CIA represented led to the arrest of Dhiren Bharat or the thwarting of his plotting. The review found that the intelligence that alerted security officials to one potential terrorist threat posed by one or more UK-based operatives with the alias Isa, 2, Isa's more common alias, Isa al-Hindi, 3, Isa al-Hindi's location, 4, Isa al-Hindi's true name, Dhiren Bharat, and 5, information on Dhiren Bharat's UK plotting, all came from intelligence sources unrelated to the CIA's detention and interrogation program. Contrary to CIA representations, reporting from CIA detainees subjected to CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques did not lead to the arrest of Dhiren Bharat or the thwarting of the United Kingdom Urban Targets plot, nor did KSM provide the first reporting on a UK-based ISA. Rather, the disruption of the United Kingdom Urban Targets plot and the identification and arrest of Dhiren Bharat, a.k.a. Isa al-Hindi, was attributed to the efforts of UK law enforcement, redacted, as well as redacted, a review of computer hard drives, redacted, collected communications, and reporting from detainees in the custody of the U.S. Department of Justice, the U.S. military, and a foreign government. While records indicate KSM did provide the initial information on ISA's tasking to conduct casings in the United States prior to the September 11, 2001 attacks, as well as information on an email address related to ISA. This information was provided within a larger body of fabricated reporting KSM provided on ISA. The CIA was unable to distinguish between the accurate and inaccurate reporting, and KSM's varied reporting led CIA officers to conclude that KSM was protecting ESA and obstructing the CIA's ability to acquire good information on the UK-based operative well after the CIA ceased using enhanced interrogation techniques against KSM. According to information provided to the CIA by the United Kingdom, Dhiren Bharat, a.k.a. Isa al-Hindi, appeared in Redacted, reporting related to terrorist training and participation in jihad in occupied Kashmir, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Malaysia throughout the 1990s. Information concerning a book written by Dhiren Bharat under the alias Essa al-Hindi on jihad in Kashmir appeared in Redacted and CIA intelligence records as early as December 1999. At that time, UK authorities had a number of UK-based extremists under investigation, including Moazem Begg. Begg's Maktaba al-Anzar bookstore was described as a known jihadist gathering place. According to intelligence reports in 1999, redacted, Abu Issa stayed with Moazem Begg at the Maktaba al-Anzar bookstore in Birmingham, UK, and that this Issa was in contact with other UK extremists. According to reporting, Begg was associated with two al-Qaeda operatives arrested in 1999 for their involvement in terrorist plotting and later released. A report from August 1, 2000 stated that UK authorities raided Begg's bookstore and found an invoice for 5,000 copies of a book entitled The Army of Medina in Kashmir. A search of computers associated with the two aforementioned al-Qaeda operatives described the book as their project, written by a brother from England who was a Hindu and became a Muslim. According to the reporting, the UK-based author of the book got training in Afghanistan before fighting jihad in Kashmir. The book advocates for worldwide jihad, and the author is listed on the cover of the book as Essa al-Hindi. Additional reporting on Issa appeared in CIA records again in July 2001. At that time, the FBI reported that Ahmed Rassam, who was in a U.S. federal prison, arrested by U.S. Border Patrol with explosives in his vehicle in December 1999, reported that a UK national named Issa attended a terrorist training camp associated with al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. In February 2002, Moazem Begg was arrested at an al-Qaeda safe house in Islamabad, Pakistan, and subsequently transferred to U.S. military custody at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. While still in Pakistani custody, Begg provided reporting on UK-based extremists in the context of terrorist training camps, including information on an individual who would play a key role in Issa's identification and capture. Suleiman. In May 2002, the CIA was seeking to learn more about Suleiman, redacted foreign partner. Authorities informed the CIA that Suleiman was a person of interest to UK authorities for his connections to UK extremists and his suspected travel to Kashmir multiple times for terrorist activity. The redacted foreign partner further reported that Suleiman may have been involved, redacted. The same intelligence report provided by redacted foreign partner included Suleiman's likely true name, Nisar Jalal, as well as his date of birth and place of employment. Beginning in mid-2002, there was increasing intelligence reporting on one or more UK-based individuals referred to as Issa, who were connected to KSM and possibly planning attacks in the United Kingdom. This reporting resulted in efforts by UK authorities to identify and locate this Issa. In August 2002, and again in October 2002, redacted foreign partner, informed the CIA that it was seeking to identify a UK-based Abu Issa, who was reportedly an English speaker and trusted terrorist operative. In September 2002, an email address, Lazy Lozy, was recovered during raids related to the capture of Ramzi bin Hashib that would later be found to be in contact with Issa. Information on the email address was disseminated in intelligence reporting. The same email address was found on March 1, 2003, during the raids that led to the capture of KSM. CIA records indicate that redacted sought redacted coverage for the email account. Within days, the intelligence community was collecting information from the account and had reported that the user of the account was in contact with other covered accounts and that the message content was in English. KSM was captured on March 1, 2003. On March, redacted, 2003, KSM was rendered to CIA custody and immediately subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, including at least 183 applications of the waterboarding interrogation technique, until March 25, 2003. During the month of March 2003, KSM provided information on a variety of matters, including on a UK-based Abu Isa al-Britani. The information provided by KSM on Isa included both accurate and inaccurate information. At the time, the CIA was unable to discern between the two. During interrogation sessions in March 2003, KSM first discussed an Isa al-Britani among a list of individuals who were connected to KSM's Heathrow Airport plotting. On March 17, 2003, KSM stated that, prior to the September 11, 2001 attacks, he tasked Isa to travel to the United States to collect information on economic targets. On March 21, 2003, KSM was waterboarded for failing to confirm interrogators' suspicions that KSM sought to recruit individuals from among the African-American Muslim community. KSM then stated that he had talked with Isa about contacting African-American Muslim groups prior to September 11, 2001. The next day, KSM was waterboarded for failing to provide more information on the recruitment of African-American Muslims. 1 hour after the waterboarding session, KSM stated that he tasked Isa to make contact with black U.S. citizen converts to Islam in Montana, and that he instructed Isa to use his ties to Sheikh Abu Hamza al-Masri, a UK-based imam, to facilitate his recruitment efforts. KSM later stated that Isa's mission in the United States was to surveil forests to potentially ignite forest fires. During this period, KSM was confronted with a series of emails that the aforementioned Lazy Lozy email account and another email account redacted. KSM confirmed that the emails were established for communication between Isa al-Britani and Amir al-Baluchi, and stated that Isa used the Lazy Lozy account and that al-Baluchi used the redacted account. A month later, the CIA reported that Isa did not use the Lazy Lozy email address, but the other email address. Over the next 6 months, KSM retracted or provided conflicting reporting on Isa. On June 22, 2003, CIA interrogators reported that KSM nervously explained to a debriefer that he was under enhanced measures when he made these claims about terrorist recruitment in Montana, and simply told his interrogators what he thought they wanted to hear. A CIA headquarters response cable stated that the CIA's Alex station believed KSM's fabrication claims were another resistance-slash-manipulation ploy, and characterized KSM's contention that he felt forced to make admissions under enhanced interrogation techniques as convenient excuses. As a result, Alex station urged CIA officers at the detention site to get KSM to reveal who is the key contact person in Montana.
Note, 1506. No individuals related to KSM's reporting were ever identified in Montana. KSM also retracted his statement connecting Isa to the Heathrow Airport plotting. There are no CIA records to indicate that either of the UK-based Isas, Sajid Badat or Dhiren Bharat, was ever involved in the Heathrow Airport plotting.
By June 30, 2005, Alex Station had concluded that KSM's reporting about African-American Muslims in Montana was an outright fabrication. On April 4, 2003, the CIA provided reporting to the UK on Isa, stating that, "We realize that Abu Isa is a target of interest to your service." The information compiled by the CIA included an August 2002 report, unrelated to the CIA's detention and interrogation program, that stated that a UK national, Abu Isa al-Pakistani, was slated by al-Qaeda for terrorist operations against foreign targets. On April 18, 2003, a redacted cable, the UK relayed that the correct email address for Abu Isa al-Britani is redacted. It further noted that the Abu Isa account is under redacted coverage and redacted. The same cable notes that KSM had changed his reporting on Isa's background. According to the cable, KSM originally stated Isa was of Pakistani origin, but now claimed that Isa was of Indian origin. The CIA wrote that KSM's reporting tracks with reporting from another detainee. As you are aware, Faraz Abbasi and other detainees at Guantanamo Bay have described an Abu Isa that worked for the Al-Qaeda Media Committee, run by KSM. Abbasi, at one time, related that Abu Isa described himself as Indian. On May 11, 2003, a redacted cable noted that the email address associated with Abu Isa, redacted, was used and tracked to a specific address in Wembley, a suburb of London. On May 28, 2003, a CIA cable documented intelligence obtained by the FBI from interviews of James Ujamaa, a.k.a. Bilal Ahmed, who was in FBI custody. Ujamaa, who had spent time in the UK extremist community, reported on an Issa in the UK who was known as Issa al-Hindi and was good friends with a Pakistani male named Suleiman. Redacted had already disseminated intelligence indicating that Suleiman was likely Nisar Jalal, based on reporting from U.S. military detainee Moazem Beg. Ujamaa provided the FBI with the name of the UK law office where Suleiman, a.k.a. Nisar Jalal, worked, which matched reporting provided to the CIA by, redacted foreign partner, authorities in, redacted, 2002. On June 2, 2003, KSM was shown a sketch of Issa al-Hindi provided to the CIA by the FBI and based on reporting by James Ujamaa. KSM stated that the sketch did not look like anyone he knew. A June 5, 2003 cable states that the FBI had gleaned new clues about Issa in recent days from detainees, including Moazem Beg, who was in U.S. custody. According to the cable, Beg told FBI special agents that Issa is likely from Wembley, Alberton, or Sudbury. A redacted noted that redacted technical collection indicated that Issa was located in Wembley. UK officials highlighted that Issa's reported good friend, Nisar Jalal, a.k.a. Suleiman, also had an address in Wembley. On September 13, 2003, KSM explained a coding system for telephone numbers for Issa that produced no results. On October 16, 2003, KSM identified a picture of an individual known as Nakuda, as Abu Issa al-Britani. The CIA relayed this information to UK officials who responded that this identification was extremely unlikely. CIA detainee Khalid bin Attash was shown the same photograph and stated that the photo definitely was not Issa. CIA officers wrote that KSM is obstructing our ability to acquire good information on Issa, and noting that KSM has misidentified photos when he knows we are fishing and misleads us on telephone numbers. A cable from the CIA's Alex station stated that KSM appears to have knowingly led us astray on this potentially important, albeit historical lead, the phone numbers, to one of our most hotly pursued targets. In October 2003, CIA officers wrote, "Even with all we have learned from our ongoing partnership with the United Kingdom and various detainees, we have not been able to obtain accurate locational information, including confirmed phone numbers, and timely information on email addresses. Our latest information based on foreign partner reporting and a detainee's assessment, Moazem Beg in U.S. military custody, is that Issa is believed to currently be located in Wembley, a suburb of London." In January 2004, redacted urged redacted foreign partner officials to, redacted, interview Nisar Jalal, a.k.a. Suleiman, in light of Ujamaa's reporting from the FBI confirming a relationship between Issa al-Hindi and Nisar Jalal. Instead, redacted foreign partner, officials began planning an operation, redacted. One individual, redacted, personally saw Issa al-Hindi on June, redacted, 2003 in the Wembley area of South London. Based on the FBI reporting and the email coverage, UK authorities continuously surveilled Nisar Jalal, a.k.a. Suleiman, and photographed his associates. A specific series of photographs was passed by, redacted foreign partner, officials to CIA officials, redacted, depicting an individual who CIA officials wrote bears a striking resemblance to the Issa al-Hindi sketch provided by Moazem Beg, the detainee in U.S. military custody. The CIA would later write that Moazem Beg's description and resulting sketch of UK contact Issa al-Hindi was compared to a still shot of an unidentified man taken from a surveillance video of UK extremists, and the comparison revealed that the man in the video probably was the elusive Issa al-Hindi. With the suspicion that the photo was Issa al-Hindi, the CIA, redacted, requested the photo be shown to detainees and requested immediate feedback. According to a CIA cable dated June 17, 2004, the suspected Issa al-Hindi photograph was shown to KSM, who confirmed that the unidentified photo depicts al-Hindi. By July 2, 2004, redacted foreign partner, authorities had informed the CIA that they felt confident that Issa's true name was Dhiren Bharat. According to, redacted, reporting while under surveillance, Issa was observed talking for an extended period of time, redacted, in the vicinity where James Ujamaa, in FBI custody, had placed Issa. Redacted foreign partner, authorities observed that Issa drove, redacted, to a residence in Wembley. A record search of the address in Wembley by UK authorities identified a passport application with a photograph that matched the Issa under surveillance. The name on the passport application was Issa's true name, Dhiren Bharat. Once identified, Dhiren Bharat remained under UK surveillance as the UK collected additional information on Dhiren Bharat and his activities. On July, redacted, 2004, an Al-Qaeda associate named Abutala al-Pakistani was arrested and detained by Pakistani officials. CIA records indicate that the arrest occurred after, redacted, identified when and where Abutala al-Pakistani would be at, redacted. On July, redacted, 2004, after Abutala's capture, Pakistani authorities conducted a series of raids and seized a laptop computer that was shared with the U.S. government. The computer was suspected of belonging to senior Al-Qaeda member Hamza Rabia and contained a series of undated English-language casing reports. In all, the computer contained over 500 photographs, maps, sketches, and scanned documents associated with apparent casings. On July 31, 2004, KSM was questioned about the casing reports. KSM stated that he did not know any Al-Qaeda plans by Abutala or anyone else to target the Citigroup Citibank building, Prudential Group building, or the United Nations building described in the documents. On the same day, Abutala, who was in the custody of a foreign government, stated the U.S. casing reports were from Abu Issa. Issa, a.k.a. Dhiren Bharat, was still under surveillance by U.K. authorities at this time. On August 1, 2004, Abutala was shown a photograph of Dhiren Bharat and immediately identified him as Issa. Abutala, who was cooperating with foreign government authorities, described Issa's visit to Pakistan from February to April 2004, during which he stated Issa, a.k.a. Dhiren Bharat, met with Hamza al-Rabia on multiple occasions to discuss operations in the United Kingdom and targets already cased in the United States. Abutala stated that Issa believed his activities and identity were not known to the authorities. An August 3, 2004 cable stated that analysis of information on the hard drive of the computer seized revealed a document that is a detailed study on the methodologies to effect a terrorist attack. According to the cable, the study describes the operational and logistics environment in the UK. The document is divided into two main parts. The first part includes seven chapters on the topic entitled Rough Presentation for Gas Limo Project. The second part is entitled Rough Presentation for Radiation, Dirty Bomb Project. The Gas Limo Project section concludes that the most feasible option would be to use a limousine to deliver explosives, while the Dirty Bomb Project section states that smoke detectors could be used to deliver a radioactive substance, americium-147. The document proposes to use 10,000 smoke detectors as part of an explosive device to spread this radioactive element. In addition, the document discusses vulnerabilities of trains and the possibilities of hijacking and utilizing gasoline tankers to conduct a terrorist attack. On the same day the analysis was disseminated, August 3, 2004, UK authorities arrested Dhiren Bharat and 12 other individuals and seized over 100 hard drives. On August 7, 2004, the UK shared, redacted, associated with Dhiren Bharat with the US government. The redacted information provided included copies of casing reports related to the United States and the United Kingdom. On August 17, 2004, UK authorities charged 9 individuals in relation to the Dhiren Bharat, a.k.a. Issa al-Hindi investigation. UK authorities informed the CIA that despite intelligence about the activities of the network, the recent charges of the individuals involved or linked to this planning were mainly possible owing to the recovery of terrorist-related materials during searches of associated properties and vehicles following their arrests.
Note, 1546. Internal CIA communications related to August 30, 2004 CIA talking points concerning Dhiren Bharat state that a sketch of Issa al-Hindi by U.S. military detainee Moazem Beg ultimately played a central role, as a surveillance photo of a suspected Issa al-Hindi looked so much like the sketch. The CIA talking points identify redacted technical collection capabilities as the CIA's primary contribution to the investigation, stating, "Probably the most important intelligence tool we used in breaking this case was our redacted technical collection enabled by the USA Patriot Act. From beginning to end, Redacted Technical Collection played a role, but it was not the only tool that was used. HUMINT and SIGINT threads were followed and contributed to our understanding of the Redacted Technical Collection and in finding new Redacted Technical Collection leads. Exploitation of computers and other information obtained in the raids before and after the case also contributed significantly, as did surveillance. However, none of these tools are standalones. Good old-fashioned hard targeting and analysis of these maddeningly vague and disparate and incomplete threads of information was the glue that put it all together.
On August 23, 2004, the CIA received an update from Redacted Foreign Partner authorities that noted, "The research conducted by the Bharat Network into central London hotels and railway stations is likely to be exploratory rather than representing a detailed operational plan." A report from the Redacted Foreign Partner stated, "Material that is emerging from the United Kingdom investigation, combined with detainee reporting from senior al-Qaeda members, an apparent reference to Abu Talha al-Pakistani's reporting on UK targeting in Pakistani custody, strongly suggests that Bharat cell was planning a terrorist attack in the UK. What is not yet clear is how close the cell was to mounting an attack or what, if any, targets had been finalized." On August 30, 2004, talking points on the Dhirin Bharat case were prepared by CIA officers. A CIA officer wrote that KSM's reporting on contact numbers for ISA was a dead end, and that it appears KSM was protecting Al-Hindi. The talking points highlighted the cyber capabilities enabled by the USA Patriot Act in the investigation of Dhirin Bharat, stating, "Probably the most important intelligence tool we used in breaking this Dhirin Bharat case was our cyber capability, enabled by the USA Patriot Act. From beginning to end, cyber played a role, but it was not the only tool that was used. HUMINT and SIGINT threads were followed and contributed to our understanding of the cyber messages and also in finding new cyber leads. Exploitation of computers and other information obtained in raids before and during the case also contributed significantly, as did surveillance. However, none of these tools are standalones. Good old-fashioned hard targeting and analysis of these maddeningly vague and disparate and incomplete threads of information was the glue that put it all together." On September 10, 2004, the Interagency Intelligence Committee on Terrorism, IICT, disseminated a report entitled Homeland, Reappraising Al-Qaeda's Election Threat, which states, "We do not know the projected time frame for any attacks ISA was planning to execute in the UK, but it is unlikely he would have been ready to strike in the near term. Upon returning to the UK in mid-2004, ISA attempted to gather materials to build explosives for future attacks in the UK. UK authorities have been unable to locate any explosive precursors, and it is possible he had not yet acquired the necessary materials at the time of his detention. The detainee Abu Talha al-Pakistani also noted that some of ISA's operatives required further training, most likely in explosives, and that ISA intended to send an associate to Pakistan for 3 months to receive instruction from senior al-Qaeda explosive experts." The assessment adds, "ISA appears to have been in an early phase of operational planning at the time of his capture." In November 2004, Redacted, authorities informed the CIA that it was largely through the investigation of Nazir Jalal's associates that the UK was able to identify Dhirin Bharat as being identifiable with ISA al-Hindi. A December 14, 2004 FBI intelligence assessment entitled The Gas Limos Project, an Al-Qaeda Urban Attack Plan Assessment, evaluated the feasibility and lethality of this plot, based on documents captured during raids against Al-Qaeda operatives in Pakistan and the United Kingdom in July and August 2004, and on custodial interviews conducted in the weeks following these raids. The FBI concluded that the main plot presented in the Gas Limos Project is unlikely to be as successful as described. The report continued, "We assess that the Gas Limos Project, while ambitious and creative, is far-fetched." On December 12, 2005, the CIA assessed that while KSM tasked Al-Hindi to go to the U.S. to surveil targets, he was not aware of the extent to which Bharat's planning had progressed, who ISA's co-conspirators were, or that ISA's planning had come to focus on the U.K. On November 7, 2006, Dhirin Bharat was sentenced to life imprisonment in the United Kingdom. On May 16, 2007, Dhirin Bharat's sentence was reduced to 30 years after a British Court of Appeal found that expert assessments describing the plot as amateurish, defective, and unlikely to succeed were not provided to the sentencing judge. 5. The identification, capture, and arrest of Ayman Faris. Summary. The CIA represented that its enhanced interrogation techniques were effective and produced critical, otherwise unavailable intelligence, which thwarted plots and saved lives. Over a period of years, the CIA provided the identification, arrest, capture, investigation, and prosecution of Ayman Faris as evidence for the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. These representations were inaccurate. Ayman Faris was identified, investigated, and linked directly to Al-Qaeda prior to any mention of Ayman Faris by KSM or any other CIA detainee. When approached by law enforcement, Ayman Faris voluntarily provided information and made self-incriminating statements. On May 1, 2003, Ayman Faris pled guilty to terrorism-related charges and admitted to casing a New York City bridge for Al-Qaeda and researching and providing information to Al-Qaeda regarding the tools necessary for possible attacks on U.S. targets. Further details. Ayman Faris was an Ohio-based truck driver tasked by KSM with procuring tools and devices needed to collapse suspension bridges, as well as tools that could be used to derail trains. Faris had met KSM through his self-described best friend, Maqsood Khan, who was a Pakistan-based Al-Qaeda facilitator and Majid Khan's uncle. The identification and arrest of Ayman Faris is one of the 8 most frequently cited examples by the CIA as evidence for the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. Over a period of years, CIA documents prepared for and provided to senior policymakers, intelligence officials, and the Department of Justice represent the identification, capture, and/or arrest of Ayman Faris as an example of how key intelligence collected from HVD interrogations after applying interrogation techniques had enabled CIA to disrupt terrorist plots and capture additional terrorists. The CIA further represented that the intelligence acquired from the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques was otherwise unavailable and saved lives. For example, in July 2003, CIA briefing for White House officials on the CIA interrogation program, the CIA represented that major threats were countered and attacks averted, and the termination of this CIA program will result in loss of life, possibly extensive. The CIA further represented that the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques has produced significant results and saved lives. Under the heading, Results, Major Threat Info, a briefing slide states, KSM, Al-Qaeda Chief of Operations, Identification of Ayman Faris. Similarly, on February 27, 2004, DDO James Pavitt responded to the CIA Inspector General's draft special review and included a representation related to Ayman Faris. Pavitt stated that the Inspector General's special review should have come to the conclusion that our efforts have thwarted attacks and saved lives, and that EITs, including the Water Board, have been indispensable to our successes. Pavitt provided materials to the OIG that stated, specifically, as a result of the lawful use of EITs, KSM identified a truck driver who is now serving time in the United States for his support to Al-Qaeda. The final CIA Inspector General Special Review, Counterterrorism Detention and Interrogation Program, published in May 2004, states, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's information also led to the investigation and prosecution of Ayman Faris, the truck driver arrested in early 2003 in Ohio. This passage in the CIA Inspector General Special Review was declassified and publicly released on August 24, 2009. Likewise, information prepared by the CIA for CIA Director Leon Panetta in February 2009 on the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques states that the CIA assesses the techniques were effective in producing foreign intelligence, and that most, if not all, of the timely intelligence acquired from detainees in this program would not have been discovered or reported by other means. The document provides examples of some of the key captures, disrupted plots, and intelligence gained from HVDs interrogated, including the arrest of Ayman Faris. In March 2009, the CIA provided a 3-page document to the chairman of the committee stating, CIA assesses that most, if not all, of the timely intelligence acquired from detainees in this program would not have been discovered or reported by any other means, before listing Ayman Faris as one of the key captures resulting in the CIA interrogation program. The CIA provided similar inaccurate representations regarding the identification and capture of Ayman Faris in 9 of the 20 documents and briefings provided to policymakers and the Department of Justice between July 2003 and March 2009. A review of CIA operational cables and other records found that the CIA's detention and interrogation program and the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques played no role in the identification and capture of Ayman Faris.
Note, 1571. The CIA's June 2013 response acknowledges that we incorrectly stated or implied that KSM's information led to the investigation of Faris. Elsewhere, the CIA's June 2013 response states that CIA imprecisely characterized KSM's information as having led to the investigation of Ayman Faris, rather than more accurately characterizing it as a key contribution to the investigation. As described in more detail in Volume 2, the CIA and FBI had significant information on Ayman Faris prior to any reporting from KSM. The CIA's June 2013 response also states that the CIA's inaccurate statements that KSM's reporting led to the investigation of Ayman Faris were only made in a few cases and in a small number of representations. As described in the full committee study, the CIA repeatedly represented that KSM's reporting led to the investigation of Ayman Faris and was responsible for the identification and capture of Ayman Faris.
CIA records indicate that Ayman Faris was known to the U.S. intelligence community prior to the attacks of September 11, 2001. On March, redacted, 2001, the FBI opened an international terrorism investigation targeting Ayman Faris. According to CIA records, the predication of the FBI Faris investigation was information provided by foreign authorities that revealed Faris's telephone number had been called by Islamic extremists operating in France, Belgium, Turkey, and Canada, including Millennium bomber Ahmed Rassam. Rassam, currently serving a 65-year U.S. prison term, was arrested on December 14, 1999, en route to Los Angeles International Airport with explosives in the trunk of his car. According to CIA records, as a result of a post-9/11 lead, the FBI interviewed Ayman Faris shortly after the attacks of September 11, 2001. On November, redacted, 2001, the FBI closed its investigation of Ayman Faris for unknown reasons. On March 5, 2003, Majid Khan was taken into Pakistani custody. That same day, FISA coverage of Majid Khan's residence in Maryland indicated that Majid Khan's, redacted, made a suspicious phone call to an individual at a residence associated with Ayman Faris. The call included discussion of Majid Khan's possible arrest and potential FBI surveillance of, redacted, who asked the individual in Ohio if he had been approached and questioned. Redacted warned the Ohio-based individual not to contact anyone using his phone. That same day, Redacted informed FBI special agents that the other party to the intercepted conversation was Ayman Faris. By March 6, 2003, the FBI had officially reopened its international terrorism investigation of Ayman Faris. While U.S. law enforcement investigations of Ayman Faris moved forward, Majid Khan, in foreign government custody, was being questioned by foreign government interrogators. According to CIA records, the interrogators were using a rapport-building technique, confronting Khan with inconsistencies in his story, obtaining information on Majid Khan's al-Qaeda connections.
Note, 1582. The cable states, a foreign government officer talked quietly to Majid Khan alone for about 10 minutes before the interview began and was able to establish an excellent level of rapport. The first hour and a half of the interview was a review of bio data and information previously reported. When foreign government interrogators started putting pressure on Majid Khan by pulling apart his story about his honeymoon in Bangkok and his attempt to rent an apartment safe house for his cousin, Mansoor Maqsood, a.k.a. Iqbal, a.k.a. Tala, a.k.a. Moeen, a.k.a. Habib, at 1400, Majid Khan slumped in his chair and said he would reveal everything to officers.
On March 11, 2003, Majid Khan identified a photo of Ayman Faris. Majid Khan stated he knew Faris as Abdul Rauf. He claimed Faris was a 35-year-old truck driver of Pakistani origin who was a business partner of his father. In addition to describing business deals Ayman Faris was involved in with Khan's family, Majid Khan stated that Faris spoke Urdu and excellent English and had a colorful personality. The next day, while still in foreign government custody, Majid Khan stated that Ayman Faris was an Islamic extremist. According to CIA cables on March 14, 2003, Majid Khan provided more damning information on Ayman Faris, specifically that Faris was a mujahideen during the Afghan-Soviet period and was a close associate of his uncle, Maqsood Khan. Maqsood was a known al-Qaeda associate who Majid Khan had already admitted was in contact with senior al-Qaeda members. Majid Khan told foreign government interrogators that it was Maqsood who provided the money for Majid Khan's al-Qaeda-related travels. Majid Khan further stated that after the KSM arrest became public knowledge, Ayman Faris contacted Majid Khan's family and requested the family pass a message to Maqsood Khan regarding the status of KSM. The information on Ayman Faris was acquired prior to and independently of any reporting from the CIA's detention and interrogation program. On March 10, 2003, in response to a requirements cable from CIA headquarters reporting that al-Qaeda was targeting U.S. suspension bridges, KSM stated that any such plans were theoretical and only on paper. He also stated that no one was currently pursuing such a plot. KSM repeated this assertion on March 16, 2003, noting that while UBL officially endorsed attacks against suspension bridges in the United States, he had no planned targets in the U.S. which were pending attack, and that after 9/11, the U.S. had become too hard a target. On neither occasion did KSM reference Ayman Faris. On March 15, 2003, Deputy Chief of Alex Station, redacted, who was reading the intelligence from the foreign government interrogations of Majid Khan and requested a photograph of Majid Khan and additional information to use with KSM. In response, CIA headquarters sent the detention site photographs of Majid Khan's family and associates, including Ayman Faris. On March 17, 2003, 11 days after the FBI officially reopened its investigation of Ayman Faris, KSM was shown photographs of both Ayman Faris and Majid Khan. According to CIA cables, KSM was also asked detailed questions based on email communications, which a cable stated served as an effective means to convey to KSM the impression that the USG already possessed considerable information and that the information would be used to check the accuracy of his statements. In this context, KSM identified the photograph of Ayman Faris as a truck driver and a relative of Majid Khan. KSM claimed that he could not remember the truck driver's name. KSM described the truck driver as a colorful character who liked to drink and have girlfriends and was very interested in business. The next day, March 18, 2003, KSM stated that in February 2002, he tasked the truck driver to procure specialized machine tools that would be useful to al-Qaeda to loosen the nuts and bolts of suspension bridges in the United States. According to KSM, in March 2002, the truck driver asked Mansur Khan, son of Maqsood Khan, to inform KSM that he, the truck driver, could not find such tools. KSM stated that he made no further requests of the truck driver. According to a CIA cable, on the evening of March 20, 2003, the FBI informed the CIA that Ohio police had been following Ayman Faris for some time and had stopped him and questioned him about his relationship to Shaukat Ali Khan, Majid Khan's father of Baltimore. According to a CIA officer, when the FBI approached Faris, he talked voluntarily. Records indicate that Faris initially claimed to know Shaukat Ali Khan through the gas station business and agreed to take a polygraph examination. According to FBI records, prior to the polygraph, Faris admitted to being associated with KSM and provided details on his relationship with al-Qaeda members in Pakistan. Specifically, Ayman Faris told FBI and Ohio police that he had met KSM twice and had been tasked with procuring items. Faris detailed how KSM had a plan to cut the suspension cables on the Brooklyn Bridge to cause its collapse using gas cutters. Faris maintained that he thought that the task to take down the bridge was impossible and did not take further action.
Note, 1605. A senior CIA counterterrorism official who had previously served as chief of the Bin Laden unit commented on the intelligence obtained from Ayman Faris on the Brooklyn Bridge plotting, stating, "I guess we have to take these guys at their word, but if these are the types of attacks KSM was planning, KSM was more of a nuisance than a threat, and you have to wonder how he ever thought of anything as imaginative as the 11 September attacks. I wonder if he had two tracks going, ops like 11 September, and a whole other series half-baked, secular Palestinian-style ops like those Majid Khan, Faris, and the other yahoos are talking about. Perhaps he believed if we caught the Yahoos, we would relax a bit and they would be better able to hit us with an effective attack? The other alternative is that KSM himself is a Yahoo. Strange stuff. In a separate email, the senior official wrote, "Again, odd. KSM wants to get machine tools to loosen the bolts on bridges so they collapse? Did he think no one would see or hear these Yahoos trying to unscrew the bridge? That everyone would drive by and just ignore the effort to unbolt a roadway? And what about OPSEC? Yup, we were just going to recruit a few of the neighbors to help knock down the Brooklyn Bridge."
Over several weeks, Ayman Faris continued to voluntarily cooperate with law enforcement officials and engage in efforts to assist in the capture of Maqsood Khan. Faris provided additional details on his activities related to the Khan family, KSM, his meeting with UBL, and two extremists in the United States who had discussed wanting to kill Americans in a Columbus-area shopping mall with a Kalashnikov automatic rifle. On April 22, 2003, Faris had accepted a plea agreement and continued to cooperate, including by sending email messages to Al-Qaeda members in Pakistan for the purposes of intelligence collection. On May 1, 2003, Faris was transported from Quantico, Virginia, where he was voluntarily residing and working with the FBI, to a federal court in Alexandria, Virginia, where he pled guilty to material support to terrorism charges. He was subsequently sentenced to 20 years in prison. On April 3, 2003, the Interagency Intelligence Committee on Terrorism, IICT, assessed that the use of tools to loosen the bolts of suspension bridges were methods that appear to be unrealistic.
6. The identification, capture, and arrest of Sajid Badat. Summary. The CIA represented that its enhanced interrogation techniques were effective and produced critical, otherwise unavailable intelligence, which thwarted plots and saved lives. Over a period of years, the CIA provided the identification, discovery, capture, and arrest of Sajid Badat as evidence for the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. These representations were inaccurate. UK domestic investigative efforts, reporting from foreign intelligence services, international law enforcement efforts, and US military reporting resulted in the identification and arrest of Sajid Badat. Further details. Sajid Badat was selected by Al-Qaeda leaders, including Abu Hafs al-Masri and Saif al-Adal, to carry out an attack against a Western airliner with Richard Reed using a shoe bomb explosive device in December 2001.
Note, 1614. Note on CIA records related to UK-based ISIS. Two United Kingdom-based Al-Qaeda associates, Diran Barat and Sajid Badat, were known by the same common aliases, Isa, Abu Isa, Abu Isa al-Britani, of Britain, and or Isa al-Pakistani. Both individuals were British Indians who had been independently in contact with senior Al-Qaeda leaders in Pakistan. Reporting indicated that the Isas were located in the United Kingdom and engaged in terrorist targeting of the UK. The investigation into their true identities was a UK-led operation. As a result, the CIA sometimes had limited insight into UK-based activities to identify and locate the Isas. Senior CIA personnel expressed frustration that the UK was not sharing all known information on its investigations, writing in August 2003 that the FBI is clearly working closely with the UK service on these matters and the CIA is at the mercy of what it is told. In June 2013, the CIA informed the FBI that the CIA had no electronic record of receiving any transcripts or summaries from your agency's interviews with Richard Reed, and would appreciate dissemination of summaries of questioning for the purposes of CIA analysis. Until the arrest of one of the ISAs, Sajid Badat, on November 27, 2003, the U.S. Intelligence Committee and U.K. authorities often confused the two Al-Qaeda associates. As a result, the quality and clarity of detainee reporting on the ISAs, including reporting from detainees in the custody of the CIA, U.S. military, Department of Justice, and foreign services, varied. CIA personnel, redacted, reported in September 2003 that there were two or three Abu Isas in intelligence reporting and that because of their similarities, it was often unclear which Issa the detainees were referring to at different stages. Once detained in the United Kingdom in November 2003, Sajid Badat, one of the Issas, cooperated with UK authorities and provided information about the other Issa. Badat stated that people often asked Badat about the other Issa as they were both British Indians. According to Sajid Badat, anyone who had been involved with jihad in Britain since the mid-90s would know Issa al-Hindi, a.k.a. Dhiren Barat, to include Babar Ahmed, Moazzam Beg, Richard Reed, Zacharias Moussaoui, and KSM. The other Issa, Dhiren Barat, arrested on August 3, 2004, was found to have been especially well-known among the UK-based extremist community. Having written a popular book in 1999, expounding the virtues of jihad in Kashmir under the alias Issa al-Hindi. CIA records include a reference to the book and a description of its author, a brother from England who was a Hindu and became a Muslim who got training in Afghanistan as early as December 1999, disseminated by the CIA on 12/31/99 in redacted. The redacted foreign partner would later report that Dhiren Barat frequently appeared in reporting of terrorist training and had involvement in jihad in occupied Kashmir, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Malaysia throughout the 1990s. The committee study is based on more than 6 million pages of material related to the CIA's detention and interrogation program provided by the CIA. Access was not provided to intelligence databases of the CIA or any other U.S. or foreign intelligence or law enforcement agency. Insomuch as intelligence from these sources is included, it was, unless noted otherwise, found within the CIA's detention and interrogation program material produced for this study. It is likely that significant intelligence unrelated to the CIA's detention and interrogation program on Sajid Badat and Dhiren Barat exists in U.S. intelligence and law enforcement records and databases.
Sajid Badat returned to the United Kingdom in late 2001 and sent a message to his al-Qaeda handler, Ammar al-Baluchi, stating that he was withdrawing from the operation. On December 22, 2001, Richard Reed attempted to detonate a shoe bomb on a flight from Paris, France to Miami, Florida. The plane was diverted to Boston, Massachusetts, and Reed was taken into custody. The discovery, identification, capture, and arrest of Sajid Badat, the shoe bomber, is one of the 8 most frequently cited examples provided by the CIA as evidence for the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. Over a period of years, CIA documents prepared for and provided to senior policymakers, intelligence officials, and the Department of Justice represent the discovery, identification, capture, and/or arrest of Sajid Badat as an example of how key intelligence collected from HVD interrogations after applying interrogation techniques had enabled CIA to disrupt terrorist plots and capture additional terrorists. In at least one CIA document prepared for the president, the CIA specifically highlighted the waterboard interrogation technique in enabling the CIA to learn that Sajid Badat was the operative slated to launch a simultaneous shoe bomb attack with Richard Reed in 2001. The CIA further represented that the intelligence acquired from the CIA's enhanced interrogation technique was otherwise unavailable and saved lives. As an example, on October 26, 2007, the CIA faxed a document to the State Appropriations Committee appealing a proposed elimination of funding for the CIA's rendition and detention program. The CIA appeal states that most, if not all, of the intelligence acquired from high-value detainees in this program would likely not have been discovered or reported in any other way. Representing the success of the CIA interrogation program, the document states, detainees have permitted discovery of terrorist cells, key individuals, and the interdiction of numerous plots, including the discovery of an operative who was preparing another attack like that attempted by shoe bomber Richard Reed.
Note 1622. As detailed in the intelligence chronology in Volume 2, there is no evidence that Sajid Badat was preparing another attack like that attempted by shoe bomber Richard Reed. All intelligence collected after the December 22, 2001 attempted shoe bomb attack by Richard Reed indicated that his proposed partner backed out of the operation.
Similarly, in early March 2005, the CIA compiled talking points on the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques for use in a meeting with the National Security Council. The document states, "The Central Intelligence Agency can advise you that this program works and the techniques are effective in producing foreign intelligence." The document states that after applying interrogation techniques, the CIA learned from KSM and Omar that Sajid Badat was the operative slated to launch a simultaneous shoe bomb attack with Richard Reed in December 2001. A month later, on April 15, 2005, the CIA faxed an 8-page document to the Department of Justice's Office of Legal Counsel entitled Briefing Notes on the Value of Detainee Reporting, which contained similar information. The Office of Legal Counsel used the information to support its May 30, 2005 legal opinion on whether certain enhanced interrogation techniques were consistent with United States obligations under Article 16 of the United Nations Convention Against Torture and Other Cruel, Inhumane, or Degrading Treatment or Punishment. The CIA-provided document states, "Identifying the other shoe bomber, leads provided by KSM in November 2003 led directly to the arrest of shoe bomber Richard Reed's one-time partner, Sajid Badat, in the UK. KSM had volunteered the existence of Badat, whom he knew as Issa al-Pakistani, as the operative who was slated to launch a simultaneous shoe bomb attack with Richard Reed in December 2001. The CIA provided similar inaccurate representations regarding the purported role of KSM and Omar al-Baluchi in the discovery, identification, capture, and arrest of Sajid Badat in 16 of the 20 documents provided to policymakers and the Department of Justice between July 2003 and March 2009. However, in an additional case, a March 4, 2005 CIA briefing for Vice President Cheney, the CIA credited Abu Zubaydah with identifying Sajid Badat, despite a lack of any reporting on Sajid Badat from Abu Zubaydah. Contrary to CIA representations, a review of CIA operational cables and other documents found that the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques did not result in otherwise unavailable intelligence leading to the discovery, identification, capture, or arrest of Sajid Badat. According to CIA records and the UK's own investigative summary, the investigation of Sajid Badat was a United Kingdom-led operation, and the intelligence that alerted security officials to 1. A UK-based ISA, a.k.a. Sajid Badat, 2. A potential second shoe bomber related to Richard Reed, 3. A suspected UK terrorist named Sajid Badat, 4. Sajid Badat's connection to Richard Reed, 5. Sajid